kids are quitting.
Cell phones in space, and learn about your laws with MSP Dispatch Rocks. These stories and more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by the Salty Soul Foundation. Since 2017, Salty Soul has removed over 20,000 pounds of trash in Florida and California. Visit saltysoulfoundation.org to support this organization via direct donation or purchase of their merchandise.
Good morning and welcome to the August 30th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, Ray. How the heck are you doing? How was your weekend? There's so many. It felt like an amazing weekend.
So, Tony, let me ask you something. When you think America, what's the most American place you can possibly think of?
Mount Rushmore?
What?
Mount Rushmore?
For me, it's the airport. When I think America, I think the airport and TSA. Have you seen this tweet? This video. Simon, can you bring this up?
Bruh. America.
Yeah. I mean, bring a bald eagle into the airport with TSA has got to be the most American thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Who does that? Like, I don't know. I don't know anymore, Ray. I'm kind of lost. What? There's something in life. It's called an exploding noema, where your brain is an explosion. In is an actual psychology term, by the way, where your brain reconciles what is versus what you thought was. And I feel like my entire life now is just explosion after explosion after explosion after explosion. That doesn't. I just don't understand anymore.
What I got to give credit for is the dude recording it. Like, did not miss his moment. He started singing right on cue. That dude can live a happy, fulfilled life knowing that he had his shot and was right there with America. Yeah. But let's get past the shenanigans. What do you say we get into?
Let's get into the news.
As reported by Rachel DeRose, Ebony Flake, Rebecca Knight, Shanna Leibowitz, and Tim Paradise on Business Insider. Recently, the term quiet quitting has become quite the trend on social media. However, quitting isn't new. It's been around under different names for many generations. The article cites the different terms it's been used as, such as slacking off for Gen Xers or coasting. Millennials define it as having boundaries, though. And today it feels a little bit different. The article goes on to talk about how it feels different among the current pandemic, social unrest, and economic turmoil. It also comes amid record quit levels as workers demand more from their jobs: money, flexibility, autonomy, and the ability to work remotely. On one hand, the term itself is meaningless because those who are quiet quitting are still doing their jobs and doing them well enough not to get fired. On the other hand, Arianna Huffington wrote, "We need to quit quiet quitting because pushing ourselves beyond the bare minimum is how we grow, evolve, and expand our possibilities." For additional coverage on this story, visit Dave Sobel's Business of Tech podcast. We'll also include that link below. Tony, I had heard this on TikTok, and yes, I go on TikTok for the dances, of course, but I had heard this on TikTok a while back among some HR people that I follow, because, you know, that's what you do on TikTok. You follow HR people. And I originally dismissed this as one of those trends that was going to come and go, not a big deal. And then I heard Dave Sobel talk about it again this past weekend. And normally when Dave says something, I listen. So I listen to his take on it, and I'll leave it to the audience members to do it on their own. But I fully acknowledge, as business owners, we need to adapt to and evolve with whatever our current staff, the generation of our staff, is doing, and learning from them. Have you seen this amongst, you know, in your business dealings with the current generation?
Quiet quitting. I think that's a gentle way of saying something, but that's also analogous to moral flexibility or involuntary relocation. There's a nice way of saying kidnapping, and that's called involuntary relocation. It's still kidnapping. quiet quitting is still not doing your job. It's not doing something that's beneficial for the company. And granted, if you're going up to or down to the job requirements list, then you're probably going to keep your job, but you're wasting resources and cycles from the management team that are there trying to do more than the minimum requirements. And I think that just hurts everyone across the board. The one thing that I have to caution everyone who's thinking about quiet quitting, how do you think your referral is going to be at a later time when you go for a job reference or a job validation? Remember, they can only answer a question with a yes or a no answer. They can't give any opinions. So the question is, would you ever hire this person again? And if they say no, because I know that's all I'm allowed to say, what do you think the impact is going to be there? So I understand the concept of a very small, light letting down or decoupling process. But you're hurting yourself in the long run, and you're really putting an excess load on the internal staff to try to figure out how do we get rid of this problem that is barely holding their own weight. And there's probably other opportunities out there for a more effective team member. I just my opinion, but again, it goes back to that moral flexibility. No, that's just, you're immoral. Involuntary relocation, that's kidnapping. Quiet quitting, you're not really doing your job. So maybe I'm going too far, Ray. Give me your thoughts on that.
So I almost feel like I'm putting a target on my back. Last week, I was talking about like Microsoft not reversing NCE and asking MSPs not to hurt me. Now I think I'm going to be taking a stance of like, I'm going to piss some people off. Put your freaking big boy and big girl or big they whatever pants on. Communicate. Here's my thing. There are absolutely abusive employers. You and I are small business owners. You and I have been through this. We've been around the ring a couple thousand times. We know there's good and bad out there. We network all the time. I'm not saying there's not bad business owners out there. There's bad bosses out there. Every day you go to work, though, that's your choice. We're coming off of a year and a half, 2 years of this is employee nirvana. You can go in and basically say, I want the Loch Ness Monster covered in Nutella, and they'll figure out a way to get it to you if they can afford you. All right. There's no excuse to be at an employer where you hate. All right. I shouldn't say there's no excuse. I mean, only Sith deal in absolutes. But the truth of the matter is, if you go to work, it's a choice. If you're not happy, communicate. I see so many of these videos. I see so many people talking on MRU or an MSP Geek or in Reddit complaining about their horrible employers. And they're absolutely right in the complaints. Nothing wrong there. But say something to your boss or find another job. Why sit there and say, I'm just going to sit around and be miserable? I know the answer. The answer is because it's easier to complain than it is to do something about it. But if you're miserable, the life's too short not to be happy. Go out and find some happy. And if you don't agree with me, please email tony@mspmedia.tv.
That was beautiful.
I mean, but you get what I'm saying, right, Tony? Like, it's not, you know, it's not, I don't know, dude. It's just, all right, let me shut my yapper before the pitchforks and torches come out. I'm going to get off this planet. Tony, take us into space, dude.
Oh, in our next story from SiliconANGLE.com, written by Maria Deutscher, apologize about the pronunciation, T-Mobile partners with SpaceX to provide satellite-powered network connectivity. On Thursday, August 25th, 2022, T-Mobile announced that it would begin partnering with SpaceX's Starlink to provide cellular coverage to its customers. Starlink is a constellation of internet satellites deployed in low Earth orbit. It's designed to provide connectivity in areas that are beyond the reach of traditional ground-based carrier networks. Thanks to SpaceX's newly announced partnership with T-Mobile, customers of the carrier will gain the ability to connect their handsets to the Starlink network. T-Mobile expects to provide the satellite access at no charge as part of its most popular cellular plans. Connecting to Starlink network currently requires customers and users to purchase a specialized device from SpaceX known as a user terminal. T-Mobile customers, however, won't have to purchase a user terminal. SpaceX plans to launch a new second-generation Starlink satellite in the coming months that will be capable of connecting users to handsets directly without requiring an external networking device. Ray, this is amazing. I have so many things to ask because larger than this, but let's really, really nitpick for just a moment. Apple, the next big event is coming up on September 9th. That's 8 days away from today. And its title is Far Out, with the rumors going to be that Apple is connected to or working with Globalstar to provide that same functionality. Is Apple and SpaceX, are they going head to head? There's so many questions I have about that. But the question I really have for you is, how is this going to impact the IT world, where now you can have connectivity from literally anywhere? This is amazing. I'm so excited about this, but also terrified.
I can only imagine the number of IT people whipping out their network tester saying, make it so, number one. I mean, this is what we've been waiting for. We didn't get our hoverboards. We didn't get our teleporters. But now we have space connectivity. Have you seen this when, like, because apparently the way they release these satellites is they release a rocket that goes into near Earth orbit and then basically starts dropping off these satellites in order, like one, two, three, it like looks like it's laying eggs. And you get this train of like little mini satellites following each other for several miles or whatever. It is the coolest picture. If you haven't seen this, go Google it. It is the coolest thing. I saw this weekend. But this is what we need. Ubiquitous access across the planet for internet. We've talked plenty ad nauseum about the Elon Musk shenanigans. And I'm not saying, while I love this endeavor, not a great fan of, you know, this guy being in charge of all of this internet access. But we saw it in Africa. We saw it in other countries where Zuckerberg was in charge of how much internet access, because Facebook was the source of the internet for so many people with low data rates or low data caps. And so I like the idea. I love how MSPs are going to be able to start using this connectivity. I've seen it already. I have a buddy that has Starlink mobile on his RV, and he drives around the country. I've talked about him before. I like the idea that for backup redundant connections, there's been way too many people that they have one internet connection and that's it. And it's garbage. It's like 1.5, 2 meg DSL. And now they can, you know, go throw some real satellite, real speeds on there with actually decent latency for a reasonable price, right? Because that wasn't available either. Starlink is not the first to provide satellite internet, but you remember back in the 90s, where you'd get like 2 meg down and it was like 200 millisecond latency and it was worse than dial up. I mean, this is pretty fantastic. We're in the future. I still want my hoverboard, but we're still in the future. Tony, does this get you excited? It gets me excited, dude.
I'm totally excited. This is literally the first step of the internets. Amazingly put by my awesome co-host, the internets, the tubes, where you know, everyone thought it would be a fad or something there. I think this will be it. I don't think anything will exist without it in the near future. And of course, I have a ton of questions about, you know, the persons running this particular operation. And is this going to turn into something wildly dystopic that we, you know, only envision a worst case scenario? Or is Apple coming in to save the day? Or is it completely inverted where, you know, maybe Apple has that monopolistic perspective? I have so many questions. I'm really interested to see how this turns out, but it's good that everyone in the IT world is aware of this. But let's jump into the next story. What you got, Ray?
Our next story talks about MSP legislation today and tomorrow, as reported by Lewis Pope on MSSPAlert.com. Up to now, there's been a list of privacy and compliance regulations that MSP must follow, and we'll include some of these below. The legislation is called out MSPs by name and provided rules and regulations that are unique to MSPs. For example, Louisiana Senate Bill 273 states that MSPs servicing any state, parish, municipal government entity in Louisiana has to register with the Secretary of State and report a cyber incident within 24 hours or ransomware payments within 10 days. North Carolina Senate Bill 105, Section 38.13, prevents ransomware payments by public bodies. Private bodies, on the other hand, are not required but encouraged to report cybersecurity incidents. They can also engage with and pay ransomware attackers. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania Senate Bill 726 defines that after December 31st, 2021, state or local taxpayer money or other public money may not be used to pay an extortion attempt involving ransomware. The exception is that the governor can authorize a ransomware payment with the declaration of disaster emergency. There will likely be additional legislation passed in the future, and while we can't know, we can absolutely guess at it. Tony, none of these are crazy yet, but I want to play a fun game with you. Let's play What If. What legislation do you think is likely to come for MSPs?
Ooh. I'm struggling with this one for a variety of reasons, because the MSP is that last mile. So the legislation has to be on that really, really, really thin ice on everything that they do, because they are the MSP is the visual representation of pretty much everything that goes wrong. But give me some insight. Go unload.
I mean, I would definitely like to see, while I'm not a big fan of government overreach, I do believe that certain licensure, certain insurance requirements, for example, you know, there's certain trades where you have to have a certain amount of bond available. There's certain trades where you have to have a certain amount of insurance available or demonstrate ongoing training, right? Legal, medical, education, real estate. They all have their examples where you have recurring education requirements. You have financial requirements. I'd love to see these for MSP. Look, I'm not against the one person, the one operator MSP. I'm absolutely not. I am absolutely against the person that gets in business with no plan on how to run the business. Because if you're managing other people's businesses, their livelihoods, you're in a position, you're in a unique position where you can have a detrimental effect or a completely positive effect on their business and their ability to pay their employees. I think there has to be some accountability to that. So I'm not against these laws. I'm not against this legislation saying this is how you should treat things. They're focusing around ransomware, and I think they're tiptoeing to see what they can accomplish from a bipartisan standpoint, where they're not doing anything that anybody's going to say, no, you can't do that. I get they're treading lightly, but I think this is the... this is the albatross telling us what's to come. And honestly, if MSPs don't get their shit together, it's going to get worse.
So maybe you just wiggled that keystone to an avalanche of positivity or, I would say, accountability, or at the very least policies, that could lead to either of those. Maybe what an MSP is, or the requirements or the responsibility of an MSP should be, is analogous to the same requirements of, frankly, a doctor. And because think about that, where they have such an intimate and in-depth perspective of all of the inner workings of all of not just the organs, but the actual data, the blood that's flowing back and forth, and how everything operates and connects. So maybe that responsibility of a doctor that hasn't passed a very basic test should not be doing certain things. Maybe that a responsibility of a doctor that has a certain level of underwriting of coverage, they are allowed to do certain level of revenue from customer base. I'm just trying to theorize. I would love to hear from the audience, because you know, there's so many different perspectives, so many MSPs, the types, the you know, their specialties. What does the audience have to say? And you know, give us feedback on this. We would love that.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to hear, there's organizations that are trying to do this, right? There's organizations like National Society for IT Service Providers, NSITSP.org. We'll put them in the chat, and others. And nobody's nailed it yet. There's a lot of people trying. I'd love to see the results. But like Tony said, hit us in the comments. Let us know. Tony, you got some notable mentions for us?
I do. As if things aren't interesting enough, as listed in bitcoinist.com, It's true. A robot CEO just got a job to oversee the operations at its popular Chinese gaming and metaverse company. NetDragon Websoft introduced Mrs. Tang Yu, the world's first chief executive officer, and she's humanoid, which means she has electrical impulses and digital codes flowing through her veins instead of blood. The robot's been appointed as the CEO of the company's principal subsidiary, Fujian NetDragon Websoft Co. Limited. Mrs. Tang will have her hands full in the capacity of CEO. For starters, she will be at the forefront of the company's organizational and efficiency department. There's that. Ray, what about you?
My notable mention involves BCM1 sending a notification last week of an email breach. Also, for the sake of transparency, BCM1 parent company to SkySwitch and Cordial are competitors to one of my personal businesses, and that has no bearing on the story, but I wanted to be forthcoming with you, the MSP Dispatch audience. The email that went out reads as follows. BCM1 is writing to inform you that we recently learned that there was an unauthorized access to an employee's email account. We have engaged a third-party forensic firm to investigate. We have received reports of customers receiving emails designed to look like they came from BCM1. The emails ask for the recipient to transfer funds to a bank account controlled by an unknown actor. If you received an email that looks to be from BCM1 with new remittance instructions and banking details, and you made a payment to the new account, please immediately contact your bank and request that they stop payment. The email goes on to advise the email for security at BCM1 for additional information. When sought for additional comment, we reached out to BCM1 and they responded with the following. Thanks for your message. BCM1 recently identified an incident involving unauthorized access to the employee's email account. After discovering the incident, we immediately implemented our response protocols, took steps to contain the incident, and launched an investigation with the assistance of a forensic firm. We also notified law enforcement and are working to support their investigation. As we work to complete the investigation, we will look for opportunities to further enhance our existing security measures. We appreciate your patience as we work through this incident. Furthermore, this is all the information we have to share until our investigation is complete and we understand the full scope of the incident. Best regards, Paula Komo-Koff, Chief Marketing Officer of BCM1. In my second notable mention, I'll leave you with a quick link to Dave Sobel's Business of Tech podcast. He did a special episode this weekend on how to interact with the FBI during a cyber incident. It gives actionable steps, including contact information, not only how to work with the FBI during the incident, but also how to communicate with them in advance to develop a relationship with them for when you need. And we got lots of feedback last week, including on our breaking news on Thursday regarding the LastPass notice of recent security breach. Dawson wrote, "You would think they would already have a high level of security considering that's the entire point."
And also follow up from Josh Hobein. "Whoa, Nobelium is some scary guys. Good on MS or Microsoft for staying on top of cybersecurity. For all of the anger we have towards them regarding NCE, they put a lot of effort into security and security services over the last few years. Also, it's announced Hobein. No one gets it right the first time, but you actually did." That was me, by the way. "Or should I leave feedback on the MSP Discord so my username is easier to pronounce? Thank you so much, Josh. Really appreciate that."
I thank you too, Josh. That you, pronouncing your name was no endless amount of fun for us. If you guys didn't,
that was catch Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Yeah, the bloopers at the end. We were like, "Hey, we need help," and all of us are just.
It was fantastic. And wrapping it up, Alex Farling of Lifecycle Insight says, "Thanks for the mention. You guys rock, Alex and Marnie. You guys do too. We appreciate you." Tony, what do we got for community events?
We have quite a few community events coming up on August 30th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What have you done for me lately? Communicating the value of cybersecurity in your QBRs, presented by Huntress and Lifecycle Insights. Also on the 30th through the 1st, a virtual event, Battle Royale Pitch It, presented by the Channel Program. On the 1st at 6:30 p.m., I'm always excited about this one, the Tech Bar Podcast, episode number 42 with Reed Wellock, Wes Spencer, and Luke Walker. On the 2nd at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up, presented by yours truly and Ray Orsini at the MSP Media Network. And finally, on the 2nd at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 38 at 38, episode number 4, featuring Mario Gallego. And don't forget to check out our other shows on the MSP Media Network, such as 38 and 38, hosted by Aaron Bolton.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit the subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also follow us on social at MSP Media TV. Give us a call, 833-MSP-NETWORK, or email us news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode. Tony, that's a whole enchilada for MSP Dispatch. Thanks for your commentary, insight, and Americanness.
Thank you so much, America! Yeah!
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
It felt like an amazing weekend. It was a very comfortable weekend. Did you need anything to make it more comfortable?
No.
I saw, I'm totally blowing this for everyone. I saw something that Ray May mentioned, and I was like, Oh, is he going to say it? Is he going to say it?
I have no idea what you're talking about, honestly. Oh, what are you talking about?
The eagle. No.
Oh, I was like, why are you going with comfort? All right, never mind.
It literally says it's. Oh.
All right. So, Tony, let me ask you something. Yeah, we're idiots. You know what, Phil? All right.
Mute.
Damn it.
It was going so smooth. You were so passionate about it. And you were ready. You were rolling.
I was feeling it. I was like, yeah. All right, let's try this one more time. All right. It also comes amid record quit levels as workers demand more from their jobs. Money, flexibility, autonomy, the YouTube.
And don't forget to check out our other shows on the MSP Media Network, such as 38 and 38.
I apologize. I had someone come in. Can you do that again? I was trying to grab it quietly, and it's a freaking, like, the noisiest bag I've ever heard in my life. It's like,
I'm like, what's that noise? Okay. All right.